Let us pray. Holy One, as we come into your presence again today, as we reflect on the words that have been spoken, we ask that you be with us in our heads and in our hearts, that we may hear you calling to us. This we pray in the name of Christ. Amen. Boy sees girl, girl sees boy. From across the room, their eyes meet, and their hearts start pounding. They feel pulled towards each other. We see this scene playing out time after time. It is the central plot to so many of our books, movies, and songs. A young couple falling madly, deeply in love. Maybe you have been there yourself. You have seen your lover coming from across the room. You can't keep your eyes off of them. They are the ones that you want to be with. With every step they take towards you, you are more excited, the more you desire to reach out and touch them. This is the electric and magnetic passion that is the focus of the Song of Solomon. It is this deep and intimate relationship that the pages of this extended love poem lay out. As the dialogue shifts between the woman and the man involved. Here in the beginning, we see the longing to be with each other as the man comes closer, standing at the gate, trying to get a glimpse of his beloved and inviting her into an even more intimate relationship. Come, come, my love, come away with me. Today's scripture reading, and even today, the Psalm of Solomon can rival any romance novel. In fact, that might be why so many people, those of us who stand up in this pulpit, and others across the country and world, sometimes skip over it. For it has a sensual, even sexual nature to it. Readings that sometimes make us and those we preach to squirm, and have left some asking why this raw, passionate piece of writing is even part of our scriptures. This is a question many modern theologians have asked. Nowhere in this Song of Songs is there a reference to God. Instead, there is this focus on this one very human relationship, the hunger and the passion for love. In a world that uses sex to sell, and the news articles have been littered with broken relationships, sexual exploit, and sexual violence, the Song of Solomon shows us a different vision. It shows us a way back to the garden before the fall. It shows us an intimate human relationship that is faithful and mutual. Within this poem, there are no silenced voices. Woman and man are given space to speak, to express, to be heard. This book also challenges the layers of Christian writing that has called sex bad and sinful. There are no thorns in this book. Only joy is found in this interchange. Placed in a garden setting, and with all its natural references, we easily see this couple's relationship as a beautiful and natural part of God's good creation. The Song of Solomon holds up a counter to the brokenness all around us. And while modern biblical scholars have viewed this story more literally, The first 1600 years of Christianity has taken this book of the Bible and viewed it as an allegory for the relationship between Christ and the church, between Jesus and the individual believer. The church fathers sacrificed a small forest, creating volumes of work expunging and preaching on the Song of Solomon, in which they asked the reader to think and imagine what it would be like for Christ to be our lover in the story, for us to be the woman waiting, for us to take those feelings of desire and turn them not towards the thing of this world, but towards our Savior, to love Jesus with the same passion as we see in young lovers. Have you ever thought of your relationship with Jesus like that? Like a grand love affair as your greatest desire? For most of us, I am willing to guess and say that this is a foreign idea. It's one that I've struggled with. And in the United Church, we don't often talk about falling in love with the Lord. We talk about putting Christ first and maybe about giving him our heart, but we do so often with a lack of passion. We never or rarely talk about Jesus as the lover of our souls. And maybe because that makes us uncomfortable. We prefer to have a checklist of things that we need to do to be followers. Attend Sunday worship, be nice to all people, fight for social justice, sing Silent Night on Christmas Eve, and Christ has risen on Easter morning. Faith is easier when we have our to-do lists, but it also risks us not being passionate, intimate, and deep. When we think about our faith as tasks to be accomplished, as things to be avoided, we run the risk of focusing on the rules, and we forget what is at the heart of our faith. This is what Jesus confronts in our gospel reading. The Pharisees were putting the laws around cleanliness above the case and call to love. The law was not bad, but when the law got in the way of experiencing God's love and sharing God's love, it failed to live up to its purpose. At the heart of our faith is Jesus, God in human form, who came so that we could touch and hold and know in person. At the heart of our faith is a God who chooses relationship over all else, who with all the passion of young lovers proclaimed undying love even to death. At the heart of our faith is a God who would not let love die, but came back when the people thought all was lost. At the heart of our faith is a Savior that stands at the gate of our lives, standing in front of our checklists and to-dos, and calls out, "Arise, my love, my fair one, come away. Come away and let me love you through your insecurities. Come away and let me rest with you. Come away and let me love you deeper than you could ever imagine. Come away and learn to fall in love with me too." This is the call of our faith. This is the challenge for our time, to move away from our rules of engagement, that hold Christ and others at a distance, to enter into a deeper, more intimate, more passionate relationship with our God. This is not always easier than checklists. But think for a moment. Think about the moments when you have been led by love. Think about the young lovers falling in love with each other for the first time. Think about the well-aged couples whose eyes still light up when they see their partner. Think about the joy and peace that is shared between people who are deeply, deeply connected. Relationships are not always easy. Intimacy can be scary, but it is the lover of our souls who is calling. It is the one who created us and who knows every hair on our head. It is the one who already loves us more than we can imagine. So let us not shy away from our lover, who calls us to come from where we are, to arise and come away with him. And though it may not be spring, with birds fluttering and fresh flowers blooming, though summer is coming to an end, we are now on the cusp of the beginning of a new church season. Now is the time. A season to go deeper, to learn, to grow, to come, and follow Christ's call. Will you arise? Will you come? The lover of your soul is calling.